Morning.
Today's daf in Temura is daf Yadal. We are starting today the second parak of the Masechta. We are on the top of the Amud. We're starting with the new Mishnah. And here we are going to be doing is going to be comparing Karban Yachid to Karban Tzibur. Why are we doing that right now? We're in the second parak of Temura. Because one of the differences is going to be Temura. So being that that is one of the essential features of our Masechta, it is the essential feature of our Masechta. So our Mishnah is going to be using it as a platform of making various comparisons, contrasting a carbon tzibur, a carbon yachid. A carbon tzibur, as we all know, is a public carbon. That means that it's a carbon that's brought with communal funds. Generally speaking, these are carbonates that are going to be brought in the course of the year as obligations, as calendaric obligations. You bring two carbonates every day, another carbon on Shabbos, otherwise known as a musaf, carbonates on yantif as well, more musafim. And so they are the carbon tzibur is there to take care of our calendaric obligations. Carbon yachid, generally speaking, is a private carbon. But as we know, a private carbon can either come as an obligation or can come as a voluntary offering. Anyway, yesh b'karbonos yachid, shein b'karbonos tzibur, sheyesh karbonos tzibur, shein b'karbonos yachid. Now, so what are some of the basic differences that exist between carbon tzibur, carbon yachid? So the Mishnah starts listing off. Carbon yachid, osa tmur, ve'in carbon tzibur, osa tmur. So, truth of the matter is, we knew this already. We saw this in the first parak of the Masechta. But still, here the Mishnah is organizing all this information. Carbon yachid can affect tamura. You cannot affect tamura from a carbon tzibur. Carbon yachid noagas ben bezacharim ben minikevos, but carbon tzibur ain't noagas el bezacharim. A carbon yachid can come from both male and female, and a carbon tzibur can only come from male animals. Most of your carbon tzibur's are olas, right? Your carbon musaf, generally speaking, is an ola. And so therefore, the carbon tzibur is only coming from male. Now, there are a couple of carbon tzibur's that are not an ola, but Rashi points out over here, nevertheless, they're still going to come from male. If you take a look at the top Rashi in the Amud, Rashi writes, carbon tzibur, kulam zacharim, rumam olam, the vast majority of them are olas, v'ola zacharhu, and of course a carbon ola is a male animal, v'ein tzibur mevi'in shlamim, ela kivse atzeres. Now, it's true, by the way, that one time a year, the public carbon is going to be a shlamim. But that is on Shavuos. And it also happens to be, the Torah demands that it be male. Discharnhein. V'chatos shalahem si'irim. Now what about a chatos that's brought by the public? The chatos that's brought by public is si'ir. It's a goat, male. K'dichsi b'kulu v'si'ir chatas echad. Okay, so basically every carbon tzibur is coming from a male animal. So again, notable distinction to be made between the private carbon and the public carbon. Private carbon can be male and female. Now, the idea that a private carbon can be male or female, we're going to clarify that point because I can ask a simple question. I'm just going to be foreshadowing the Gemara's upcoming question. You know, an individual could bring a carbon ola. It can't be male or female. It has to be male. So the Mishnah statement that it can be either male or female, we're going to seek to clarify that point. Carbon yachid chayam v'achriyosim v'achrayos niskehem. V'karbon asesibur ein chayam v'achriyosim v'lo v'achrayos niskehem. A third difference that exists between private and public carbon is that when it comes to a private carbon, so when you pledge yourself to bring a private carbon, you are liable. And let's say time goes by and you haven't brought it, you're still obligated to bring it. Chai b'achriyasa means that you're always going to have a responsibility and a liability to bring the carbon. Mash inkin when it comes to a public carbon. So a public carbon, let's say Shabbos comes and we didn't bring the musaf, right? The public did not bring the carbon musaf on Shabbos. Okay, not good. Not good, but nothing to do about it. Sunday, you can't say, you know what, we missed yesterday's Shabbos Musaf, but let's make it up now. In other words, there's nothing to make up. Once the time has passed, any carbon that's calendarically based, well, right now, I'm going to say it like the Mishnah, any carbon which is a public carbon, once the time has passed, so then it's too late and you do not bring it. However, let's say you brought the public carbon, but you didn't bring the nesachim, right? With every carbon comes nesachim, right? Libations, as they say, accessories. Nesachim are made up of three ingredients. It is made up of the flour and oil and wine. Wine is poured on the mizbeach, and the flour and the oil are burned on the mizbeach like a mincha. Really, like the komets of a mincha, but the flour and the oil that is brought as nesachim are burnt entirely on the mizbeach. So if the carbon was brought on its proper time, but the nesachim were not brought on the proper time, the nesachim do have to be made up. Yesh b'karbon tzibur, mashein b'karbon yachid. And now we're going to go in the other direction. So we basically made three distinctions between carbon yachid and carbon tzibur, and now we're just going to go in the other direction. She carbon and seber dochens just Shabbos vesatuma. The carbon as yachid ain't a dochelosa Shabbos velosatuma. So number one, carbon seber can override Shabbos and tuma. If a carbon seber needs to be brought on Shabbos, i.e., let's say for example the 15th day of Nisan falls out on a Shabbos, so that means now that we're going to have musafim that need to be brought on that Shabbos. I can't bring a carbon musaf on the Shabbos other than the Shabbos musaf itself. No, if it's the carbon seber and it's calendaric, so therefore it's going to override the Shabbos. Number two is tuma. If let's say the majority of the Jewish people, or quite frankly the majority of the Kohanim as well, are in a state of tuma, so carbon yachid you can't bring. But a carbon seber you can bring, not only can bring, but obligated to bring. So a carbon seber is going to be overriding both Shabbos and tuma. That's it. That's the only difference between the carbon seber to that of the carbon yachid. Amar Meir v'alo chavite kol gondo parshal yom kippur and carbon yachid hein v'doch to Shabbos v'sa tuma. Now, Rabbi Meir is objecting to the way we are organizing this information. Because, you know, there are two karbanos, which are private karbanos, and yet they're going to be overriding Shabbos and Tuma. Now, the rule is, only a public karban can override Shabbos and Tuma, but not a private karban. But now Rabbi Meir is going to point to two karbanos, which are going to override. One is the chavitim of the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol daily brings a mincha. Special mincha of the Kohen Gadol. He brings one mincha, divides it in half. Half of it is brought in the morning, and half of it is brought in the afternoon. This is the chavite kohen gadol. It needs to be brought every day. It's going to be brought even on Shabbos, even if the majority of people are tamei. Same thing is true regarding the par of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur. Par of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, that's his par. That's coming financially out of his pocket. That is not a public karban. Public karban are the seirim. Those are public karbanos. But the par is his. And so, and meanwhile, it's part of the avodas Yom Kippurim, even though it's his karban. So it's a private karban that's going to be overriding Shabbos and Tuma. If, let's say, Yom Kippur falls on a Shabbos, he's going to be bringing his par. So you see, Reb Meir says it's not a function of whether it's public or private. It's really just more functionally whether it's calendaric or non-calendaric. So Elosh Shizmano Kavua. So Reb Meir says that really we're talking about the karbanos that are calendaric, zmano kavua. Those are going to be overriding Shabbos and Tuma. And then one has to wonder, meaning are the Chachamim disagreeing with Reb Meir? Meaning I venture a guess, a really good guess, that the Chachamim totally agree with Reb Meir, especially the par of the Kohen Yom Kippur, right? Can you imagine for a moment that the Kohen's not going to bring his par in Yom Kippur? It's part of the Avodas Hayom, right? It is one of the defining moments of Yom Kippur. It's part of the basic rules and regulations of Yom Kippur, and you're not gonna bring it. Of course, he's gonna bring it. So the Chachamim agree with Reb Meir. So you have to try to give voice to what exactly is the machlokas between the Chachamim and Reb Meir, because Reb Meir is making a fantastic point, and the Chachamim are certainly not disagreeing with the conclusion. I could suggest, but I'm just suggesting. I don't know this to be so. That maybe over here, maybe the Chachamim are arguing with the category, meaning that even though the par of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur is privately purchased, but it could be viewed more like a public karban.
It's for
all the Kohanim. You could try to make an argument like that. I just did. Okay, right? Could be right. Could be not necessarily. But anyway, okay. We start with the Gemara. The Gemara over here is just going to spend a little bit of time right now just working on some of the statements of the Mishnah, which are slightly misleading, and the Gemara looks to clarify. So, Karban Yachid Osei Temura. Uklaluhu Vare Ofas to Karban Yachid Vein Osei Temura. So, our Mishnah said private karbanos can affect Temura. That's not true. It's not always true. Let's say, for example, a private individual wants to bring a bird as a karban. That bird can't affect Temura. As we already learned in the first parak of the Masechta, Temura can only come from an animal, not from a bird. So ki kitani abehema kitani. Okay, so our mission was only talking about behema and not. Vare vlad de karban yachid. Yachid huveno sa tumura. Now what about the offspring of a karban? So that is a private karban and it cannot affect tumura. So hamani Rabbi Yehuda hidamra havlad osa tumura. So our mission could be going like Rabbi Yehuda, who disagrees and says that an offspring can in fact affect tumura. Vare tumura asma de karban yachid hi ve'ein tumura osa tumura. What about the tumura karban? The actual animal that resulted from the act of Temura. So our bee animal. So it is in a position where it is a private carbon, but it itself cannot affect Temura. You can't have the Kedusha transfer from bee to C. A derivative, a Temura animal cannot make another Temura. So So ki ketani beikar zivcha ketani. So the Gemara says, okay, you know, let's try to clarify the Mishnah. The Mishnah was not talking about every single scenario of, you know, anytime you have a private carbon, it's going to make a tumura. No, what the Mishnah meant is that the essential carbon, the essential private carbon, that's going to make a tumura. And so therefore, hashadasasach yafilo temura banan beikar zivcha ketani. And then the questions and those little stumbling blocks that we had earlier in the Gemara. What about a vlad of a carbon, et cetera, et cetera? Those are no longer questions. We're not talking about every private carbon. We mean the essential private carbon cannot affect tamura. That already precludes the vlad that precludes the tamura. We're just talking about the essential private carbon. Again, the next statement that was made in the Mishnah is that by a private carbon, it can be brought by male and female. And the Gemara says, but that also is categorically not true. So, you know, carbon ola only comes from male. So, nekeva lo asya doesn't come from female animals. So, aika ola sa'of titani tamos v'zachos be'mehima v'tamos v'zachos ba'ofa. So, the Gemara responds, you know, by birds, so gender does not matter. You can bring a ola bird that is either male or a female. And so, there is no zachos when it comes to the ola bird. I know, it's funny, moments earlier the Gemara said our Mishnah is not talking about birds, but now as we're trying to address the question of how could we have an ola coming from a female, and the answer is, well, we're including birds as well. So the Gemara says, okay, carbon chatzis comes from female animals, not male animals. You're telling me that all private carbonates can come from male or female. Again, the chatzis, it's not true, it's female. So ayika siir nasi demaisi zachar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but there is one chatas brought by the king in the event that he needs to bring a carbon chatas. His chatas is male, not female. So the Gemara says, okay, what about the carbon asham? The carbon asham, which is brought by a individual, by a private entity, and meanwhile, but the carbon asham can only come from male, can't come from female. So kikam rabbanan carbon deshavi ben biyachid ben mitzibar asham biyachid isa mitzibar leisa. So the Gemara's response to that is, yeah, but Asham is not part of the conversation of our Mishnah. Why not? Because Asham, there is no public Asham. Asham only exists as a private carbon. Okay. So when our Mishnah was comparing and contrasting public and private carbonos, we're only talking about those carbonos that exist in each of the categories. All right. V'ibayzema mikitani kol carbonos, yesh carbonos kitani. Umayni hushlamim. V'ibay nekeva maisi, v'ibay zachar maisi. The Gemara finally gives a simpler answer. And that is that our Mishnah was not talking about every single category of carbon. Meaning, you're right, olas come from male. And you're right, chatas come from female. The Mishnah did not say kol carbonos. The Mishnah said yesh carbonos. So are carbonos that can come from male and female. And what the Mishnah was making reference to was a shlamim. And by a shlamim can come either from male or female. As opposed to a public carbon only comes from male. Sorry, I just read that. Carbonus yachid chayavim be'achriyusam minahanimile. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay. The Gemara now is going to be seeking clarification on the following. Look, a public carbon is going to be calendaric. And so therefore, a public carbon, if the calendaric day has come and gone, and for whatever reason, the Kohanim have not brought that carbon, so that's it. The opportunity to bring the carbon is no longer there. However, if the carbon was brought on the correct day, so then the Nesachim should be brought primarily on the same day, but the Nesachim can also be brought at a later point in time. And now what we're going to be spending a good amount of today's daf learning is the sourcing of this halacha. So a lot today about Nesachim. Tanu Rabbanan Dvar Yom B'Yom HaMalam Shekol HaYom Kashu L'Musafim. So first of all, you can bring a carbon musaf at any point during the day, right? Something, a topic that was discussed in the fourth parak of Brachos, where we're talking about Zmani Tefillah, and we talked about the Musaf being able to be said the whole day, although it's a machlokus, in terms of whether or not the Musaf could be offered the whole day or the first 6 hours of the day. In any event, the Artan is of the opinion that you can bring it the entire day. So, B'yomo, Malamishim Avra Hayom, V'lo Hevim, Enochai B'achriyusam. Now, if let's say the day is gone, we miss the day, so that's it. No makeup. No makeup by carbon sebar. Yachlo Yechai B'achriyusam Niskehem, V'afa Pishakrava Zevach. What if, let's say, we brought the carbon, but we defaulted and we just failed to bring the Nesachim? At that point, what do I do? The answer is, you bring the Nesachim at a later point in time. Tamalam, Minchasam, Niskehem, Balaila. min chasam niskehem lamachar. If you didn't bring the nesachim together with the carbon sebor at its right time, so you bring it the following night, or you bring it the next day. Reish Lakish amar mehachar. Reish Lakish agrees with the conclusion. He has another source that brings us to this point. Milvat shabsos Hashem. If you look there in previously we were quoting from Parshas Pinchas. So the and now Milvat shabsos Hashem. So that's Parshas Emor. Parshas Emor says that in addition to all the musafim that you bring on Yontif, you also bring the karbanos that are specific to Shabbos. And so that means to say that even, let's say, Shabbos comes around, and previously we had karbanos of Yontif. Let's say the karban Yontif was brought on Thursday or Wednesday, whatever the case was. And for whatever reason, the nesachim were not brought. So you can bring the nesachim even on Shabbos. Okay. Now, Utsricha, now the Gemara points out, now these two drushas are both necessary. It's not that Reish Lakish is arguing with the Brice. In fact, they're both agreeing to the conclusion. They just have different sourcing, but the Gemara says that the different sourcing is necessary. Tzricha, di'ikas rachman milvat shabsos Hashem, hava mina b'yamin v'layla lo. Because the milvat shabsos Hashem, when am I bringing the karbanos of Shabbos? Obviously during the day. So I might have thought that the nesachim that I'm bringing, the nesachim that I did not bring on the proper day, but I, now they are delayed nesachim, but I bring them on Shabbos, but meaning during the day, not at night. So Amarkam min chasam niskehem. So the second drasha is there to tell us that no, you can even bring the nesachim at night. V'ikas rechman min chasam niskehem v'lo kasav mavat shabsos Hashem havamina b'layla im b'yamam alo. Now, if I only had min chasam niskehem, I saw the havamina would have been I can only bring the nesachim the following night, but I can't bring it the next day. U'mayishna mishun debekashim layla holech achar yom. Now, to explain the havamina, so the Gemara itself explains it. Why would I have thought that? Because look, we know by karbanos. Generally speaking, in halacha, how does the day begin? At night. How does the day end? With sunset of the following day. However, by karbanos, so it's inverted. The day of karbanos starts in the morning, and it ends the following night. So therefore, now that explains the havamina beautifully. I might have thought that if I failed to bring the nesachim during the day, so I'm giving now the following night in order to bring the nesachim, but that's it. That's if I only had the drasha, the one drasha of min chasam niskehem. The second drasha is coming to tell me milvad shabsos Hashem that you can even bring the nesachim the following day. Okay, tzricha. So therefore, they're both necessary. All right, and so what we now have is a brisa that the way we just learned it up, you can bring the nesachim even the following night. You're bringing the nesachim at night. Now here's rule number one when it comes to karbanos. It's not rule number one, but it's up there in terms of basic rules regarding karban. A karban can only be offered during the day. And so an interesting phenomena that the nesachim of a karban can even be offered at night. And the Gemara challenges. So here the Braisa is now giving voice to this idea that certain things can be offered at night, but there are certain things that have to be offered during the day. What could be offered at night? So kigon evarim upadarim shemakrivim mevar shemesh umetaklim vahokim kol alayla kula. So in terms of what could be offered at night, so that's going to be the limbs and the fats of any carbon that was shechted that day. So you have a carbon that was shechted that day. So now you shechted it, you sprinkle the blood. So the kapar has been achieved. What about the burning of the limbs and the burning of the fats? That you can wait until nightfall. Okay. So hektar chalavim ve'evarim could be done at night. However, the brisa then goes on. Medakam v'hochim kol ala kulo. Dvarim shedarkam. What is offered during the day? Meaning, and the Braisa assumes that we know, of course, a carbon is offered during the day. But what else in addition to a carbon is going to be offered during the day? So regarding the kemitza of a mincha, the lavona that is burnt in conjunction with the kametz, minchas nesachim, right, the flour, oil, and wine that accessorize the carbon, she'ma'alin mivah ha-shemesh. It's offered up after sunset. The Gemara quickly amends the brisa, because it can't mean that. In other words, the whole point of the brisa is, here's a list of things that are offered during the day. So immediately the Gemara just jumps right into the middle of the brisa with a quick editing. It can't mean after sunset. We're about to give a list of things that are offered during the day. Ella im baha shemesh. So with a quick editing, the Gemara says it didn't mean mevo hashemesh from the time the sun sets, but rather right before sunset. and it can continue to be burnt over the course of the night. Minayin tamalamar zos taras haola riba. The zos taras haola, which is obviously primarily speaking about the carbon ola itself, but in addition to that, also speaking about these accessories as well. And so therefore they can be burnt, but they can only be put onto the mizbeach during the day. And so what do we have over here? A conflict of brisos. And the Gemara now points it out. Ketani miyan nesachim biyom. So you told me previously in the first brisa that nesachim can be brought even at night. Now we've just cited a brisa that tells me that nesachim have to be brought during the day. So we're confused. So Amar Rami Bar Chama lo kasha kan li kadosh kan li karif. So Rami Bar Chama attempts to give an answer. Well, we're talking about we're going to make a split between the time that you can consecrate the nesachim versus the time that you're going to offer it. And what the Gemara now is positing is that hektish is going to occur during the day. And as far as the offering is concerned, the offering can be done at night. So Amalei Rava, so Rava says, I don't accept an answer. It's not good. Im mikdash kache kruva mikrave. So no, the time that you can be makdash a karban is going to be the time that you can offer the karban. Right? Remember, we spoke about, by Mechusar Zman, we spoke about this idea. That an animal is 5 days old, so you can't offer it. You can't offer it until its eighth day. So what you can't also do is you can't be makdash it at 5 days old. Right? Remember, Tosus asked the question just a short number of days ago, if that's true, so how can we even have a discussion about being makdash a fetus inside the mother? Right? Tosus addressed that question back on the Rav Yochanan Bar Pada Gemara that we did earlier. In the meantime, however, if I can't be makravit, I can't be makdash it. That's the basic rule. So the Gemara says, if that's true, so now Rami Bar Chama's answer falls away. I can be makdash the nesachim during the day, and then I'm going to offer it at night. No. If you can offer it at night, you could be makdash in the night. So the Gemara is, so Rava just simply rejects the answer. So, v'hatanya. I'm sorry, and before Rava finishes his point, by the way, he quotes a braisa that totally supports this thesis. Zakal, kolakarav b'yom, in kadosh ala b'yom, v'cholakarav b'layla, kadosh b'layla. V'cholakarav b'layla, kadosh b'layla. Bein b'yom, bein b'layla, kadosh bein b'yom, bein b'layla. Okay, so, something that can be offered during the day can only be mukdash during the day. Something that can be offered at night can be mukdash at night. And something that can be offered during the day and night can be mukdash during the day and night. Okay. What's something that can be offered at night? So, interesting Rashi over here. Rashi says, shemen lemenorah, right? That's something that can be offered at night and therefore can be mukdash at night. Okay, see the top tosas. The only tosas on this Amud that discusses this comment by Rashi. Anyway, we continue in the Gemara. Ela Amar Rav Yosef Samin Minchas Nesachim Mehamas Nisa. So Rav Yosef says, look, so we're now a little bit confused. Our first brisa tells us that Nesachim can be offered at night. Our second brisa says that Nesachim can be offered only during the day. That's confusing. So Rav Yosef says, look, I don't have any elegance in terms of answering the question, but what I do have is I have Bikius, and I'm telling you that from that second brisa, what you're going to do is you're going to take out Minchas Nesachim. Just delete it, strike it from the brisa. Okay, so the brisa was not talking about Minchas Nesachim. Okay, so it is a drastic answer but Rav Yosef can do that, meaning he's Sinai. He has that kind of bekiyas where he can make that kind of adjustment to a brisa, but now here we're at now, the first brisa says that Nesachim can be offered at night, second brisa seems to indicate otherwise. Rav Yosef's answer is simply delete Minchas Nesachim from the second brisa. Gemara now continues. So basically, we're going to have now a new way to answer the question. And we're not going to have to edit the second brisa. So let's start off with the following. If I have nesachim that come together with a carbon, how do I know that can only be offered during the day? So just like shlamim are offered during the day, nesachim are also offered during the day. Now, I know it doesn't sound like I said something really powerful, but it is. Meaning what, when Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says over this memra, we have now actually come to resolve the issue. And I'll explain how it resolves it in just a moment. But in the meantime, however, he got so excited, super excited. So ma shlamim b'yom af nesachim b'yom amar. So it was Rav Dimi who taught over this memra, and he says it over to Rav Yirmiyah. So Rav Yirmiyah, when he hears this memra, he's so excited. Now this conversation is taking place in Eretz Yisrael. Remember, Rabbi Yirmiyahu is in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yosef, however, who wanted to add the Braisa by taking out the word Nesachim from the Braisa, so Rav Yosef is living in Bava. So here's Rav Yirmiyahu's comment. E, Ishkeche, now the Girsa over here is a little choppy. You see all those small little letters sending us to various places in terms of helping us with the Girsa of the Gemara. So E, Ashkeche, Dichsiv, Igarta, Shachle, Rav Yosef. Basically, you can check out all the Bach, the Gra, in terms of the correct reading, but basically what he's saying is as follows. I'm prepared to pen a letter to Rav Yosef and Bava. And what I'm prepared to write to him is the following. Shachal el Rav Yosef, v'lo tisme minchas nesachem imas nisim. You know what? Brilliance. Right? Eureka. Don't remove minchas nesachem from the braisa. You don't need that kind of editing. V'lo kasha. Kam nesachem abayim imazevach, kam nesachem abayim bifnei atzman. And the distinction to be made is as follows. Nesachem that come in conjunction with the carbon. And that means like this. I have now designated the carbon, and with it, I designate Nesachim. So, not physically attached, but halachically now they're connected, they're linked. Because I set aside both the carbon and Nesachim. Ah. Once I do that, now the Nesachim take on the rules, the personality of the carbon. Carbon can only be offered during the day. Nesachim can only be offered during the day. Ah. But let's say the carbon was brought sans Nesachim. Now, what does that mean, sans Nesachim? We haven't set it up yet. We haven't been makdish Nesachim yet. Obviously, we need to do so, but we didn't do so together with the carbon. Okay, fine. So under those circumstances now, when I'm bringing the Nesachim after having offered the carbon, so now the Nesachim don't take on the identity of the carbon. The Nesachim now can be brought anytime, during the day, at night, following day. So now the Nesachim are almost like a little bit more of a free agent, and they can operate anytime during, and can be offered anytime you want. This is now a wonderful way to explain the discrepancy between the two braisas. Braisa number one, that taught us that Nesachim can be offered even at night. So braisa number one is talking about this free agent Nesachim. It's not really a free agent, by the way. Meaning it was brought because the carbon was brought. But it was only set up after the carbon was brought. Under those circumstances, you could bring it any time. You could bring it day, you could bring it night. Mashenkin, the second braisa was talking about the Nesachim that were set up with the carbon. Now taking on the persona, the identity of the carbon. Carbon has to be brought during the day, Nesachim could be brought during the day as well. Oh, okay. And so now that we said this, so now we resolved the two braisas, one against another. We didn't need to edit the second braisa. Rav Yosef's dramatic, remove it from the braisa, not necessary anymore. And Rav Yirmiyahu says, let's pen a letter over to Rav Yosef and let's share this good information with him. Okay, now, this brings us to just a great little tangent of the Gemara. And so for the next little bit, right from here until about halfway down the Amud, so we get treated to a great little tangent. Now, what Rav Yirmiyahu is proposing is that we're going to write a letter and write down some of the Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, you can't do that. You know, when you take down and write down Torah Shebaal Peh, I hope we all appreciate the irony as we're reading right now the Gemara. And the Gemara is saying that you're not allowed to write down Torah Shebaal Peh. Obviously, it's a question with an answer, because if it doesn't have an answer, so it puts us well entrenched in hypocrisy. And we'd like to think that we're not hypocrites. So obviously, the Gemara is going to have an answer. But in the meantime, however, the Gemara says, you know, you can't write down Torah Shebaal Peh. In fact, the Torah says, if you do so, it's kisarf b'Torah, it's like you're burning the Torah. Now, what exactly does that mean? Rashi here offers two pshatim. First pshat of Rashi, I'll read it inside. Rashi's four lines down. Shein matzilin aso b'Shabbos mibnei adeleika. So number one. House is burning on Shabbos, so that we learned in Masechta Shabbos that there are certain things that you can rescue and salvage from the house that's burning. One of the things that you could do is you can salvage Sifrei Torah. Sifrei Torah is something that you can pick up and move out. The Chachamim did want to really handcuff us in terms of what we can get out of the burning house. The Gemara over there in Shabbos goes on to explain that if we take out too much stuff, so we're just going to be so preoccupied with our possessions, we're going to end up putting out the fire, which is a Chilul Shabbos. So therefore, there's a significant cap on what you can remove from the house. You can remove a Sefer Torah, but specifically, Torah Shebichsav. What you cannot remove out of the house is Torah Shebaal Peh. because it shouldn't have been written down. That's one way to explain the Sorfei HaTorah. Rashi offers another pshat. Sha'asur l'shor sam ksuvim de Torah Sheba'al Peh. Rashi's second pshat is, you write down Torah Sheba'al Peh, shouldn't have written down. What we should do? We should burn it. It shouldn't be kept in any kind of written form. And then the Gemara, as if the first statement wasn't harsh enough, the Gemara makes a follow-up statement which is just as harsh, maybe even a little bit harsher. If you learn from Torah Sheba'al Peh in its written form, so you're not going to be receiving any schar.
No way.
Yeah. Second statement. Yeah, I take it back. Second statement is harsher. Okay, so. Darush Rav Yehuda Bar Nachman Miturka Meid Reish Lakish Kasevech Adomar. So. Now, how do we arrive at this conclusion that the Torah Sheba'al Peh should not be written down? So the Gemara over here cites. This Gemara over here that we're learning in Temur Yadalid is also recorded in Gittin Daf Samach. We discussed it there in some more detail, but it's the same Gemaras. So one pasuk says, Kasav L'chasa Dvar Me'ela. So one pasuk says that Torah is meant to be written down. V'kasav Echad Omer, Ki Alpi HaDvarim Ha'ela. That there's a certain element of Torah that has to be kept orally, in oral transmission. So lama lecha dvarim sha'al peh yata reshayla omram b'ksav v'she b'ksav yata reshayla omram al peh. And they have to be kept in its respective categories. Torah sheb'ksav has to be written from text, has to be read from text. And Torah sheb'al peh has to be transmitted orally. Okay, so let's just finish the Gemara first and then I'll come back and I'll discuss just a couple of points. V'tan debei Rav Shmuel kasav lecha sa dvarim ha'ela, eila ata kosev aval yata kosev halachos. Tandabei Rishmal arrives at the same conclusion, but just simply from the diuk. The diuk is that you write this down, this meaning a self-reference to the Sefer Torah, Chamisha Chumshei Torah. This gets written down, but the other portion of Torah, i.e. Torah Sheba'al Peh, is not to be written down. Okay, so how can Rav Yirmiyah even suggest that, hey, I just came up with a chiddush, so let's write it down. And not only write it down, but send it all the way across to Bavel and send it to Rav Yosef. So Amri Dilma Milsa Chadatishani. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what we're talking about? We're talking about a chiddush over here. So maybe when it comes to a chiddush can be written down. If we're talking about Torah Sheba'al Peh that everybody quote unquote knows, and it's quote unquote common knowledge, so that shouldn't be written down. But if we're talking about something which is novel and a novel interpretation of Brisos like we just learned together, so that can be written down.
But that chiddush is not considered part of the Torah Sheba'al Peh.
It is considered part of Torah Sheba'al Peh. Okay, so we'll just wait. So Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, so they would have Sifra da Agarata. So Sifra da Agarata probably will be referred to as Medrash Agada. So the right, like the Tanchuma and the Medrash Rabbah, right? So the so when they would darshan on Shabbos, they would darshan. They'd have these quote unquote notebooks, and they would look into these notebooks, and they would darshan on Shabbos. Now, that basically meant that they committed a certain amount of Torah Sheba'al Peh to be written down. How could they do that? And so the Gemara in Gittin, and it's the same Gemara over here in Temura, so they did so because they felt that it was an exceptional time and we were given an exceptional heter. The Torah, the Pasuk in Tehillim says that at some times you have to do things for HaKadosh Baruch Hu even though it's a violation of the Torah. Writing down Torah Sheba'al Peh is a violation of the Torah. And sometimes, right, you need an executive order to override the original intent. Amri mutav te'akar Torah v'altishkach Torah Yisrael. So look, we know you're not allowed to write down Torah Sheba'al Peh, but let's consider. In other words, at the historical juncture they were at, let's consider. If we don't write down Torah Sheba'al Peh, we're going to lose Torah. So even though there is an issur to write down Torah Sheba'al Peh, but if we don't write it down, it's going to be lost. And so therefore, a special executive order that's going to override it. Okay, a couple of points over here before we come back to Nesachim, because Nesachim is really our topic for today. This just happens to be just a wonderful break in the action. Number one, Rambam writes he makes a beautiful comparison. He says it's like where somebody has a limb that needs to be amputated. And so the doctor says, okay, look, we'll amputate the limb, but we'll do so in order to save the entire body. So the Rambam says it's the same thing over here. In other words, yeah, you're not allowed to write down Torah Sheba'al Peh, but if we don't write down Torah Sheba'al Peh, we're going to lose the entire corpus of Torah and the Masorah of the Torah, so you just have to do it in order to save the body. That's the Rambam's comparison. Number two, a great Ritva in Gittin Really, it's really good. And by the way, I think, not to say that we understand it better than him, because we don't, but in other words, but in our day of communication, like I definitely understand this Ritva in a way that they didn't a generation ago or two generations ago. And that is, Ritva says, do you know why Torah Shabbat Peh has to be transmitted orally? He says, because you lose so much in the written word. Meaning that when you're saying something over orally, there's tone, there's intonation. You're looking at the face, you're reading. There's so many things that are being given over when you're orally transmitting something. However, if it's just something which is written, so you lose things in writing. Right? Consider all the text communications we have one to another, and you're reading a text communication, and you're reading it one way, and the intent of the writer, of course, is totally different. And so the Ritva, I know he's not talking about texting, but we certainly relate to this all the time nowadays in our you know, quote unquote modern forms of communication. And so the Ritva says that's why it's essential that Torah Shabbat Peh has to be handed over orally in order so that it's communicated properly.
Is there a source for this prohibition?
The Gemara just quoted. What do you mean?
From the Torah, I mean.
The Gemara just quoted. The Gemara quoted Pesukim.
Oh, is it Pesukim?
Yeah, the right Kasul Chazav Dvar Me'ila, Ki Al Piyah Dvar Me'ila. The Gemara quoted Pesukim. It sounds like from the Gemara it's the Nisr Daraisa. It also sounds like that from based on the fact that the Gemara says that we create an exception. It sounds like the executive decision was to violate a Torah law. Simple reading of the Gemara is that it's an Issa Daraisa. Just one other point I'll say over quickly. Right, this obviously becomes a shear in of itself, but the oral tradition has to be kept orally. Okay, so we're given an exception in which we are allowed to read it from the text, which of course we now do. We're looking right at it. And on top of that, the written letter, Torah Shebechsav, cannot be said over orally. So the Rishonim already bothered by a very simple question. The written text cannot be said over orally. We violate this all the time. Right? People are davening. People are davening about that. Now, right, from a Musar standpoint, you know, you can hear a schmooze about how you should not be davening about that. You should be davening from a sitter, but already the Rishonim daven Baal Peh, meaning the Rishonim did it. And so how could you daven Baal Peh? You're saying Pesukim and Tehillim. And so Tosos gives a really interesting suggestion. He says, well, maybe the Isser of Torah Shebechsav, which has to be written from Ksav, is only limited to Chamishei Chumshei Torah, but not to Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Nevi'im and Ksuvim you could say by heart. That's an interesting suggestion by Tosos, but Tosos himself acknowledges, but that doesn't really resolve the problem. Because people daven Shachris by Baal Peh. That's what they used to do. The Rishonim used to do that. And so therefore, not only does it include Pesukim and Tehillim, it also includes Shema, right? The end of Pesukim de Zimri of Az Yashir. Like, in other words, we're saying over Pesukim by heart. How do we do that? So anyway, so the Rishonim are bothered by the question. The Rishonim offer various suggestions in terms of how to resolve that, because L'chora, we should be reading it from a text. And meanwhile, the Rishonim already acknowledge that the Minig is not to. Okay. Let's come back to Nesachim. Obviously, much more to discuss on this topic. It's really a fundamental issue. In terms of the original plan of Torah Shebechsav, it has to be written. Torah Shabbat Peh has to be orally transmitted. Much, much more to discuss on this topic, obviously. But our focus today, our goal for today, is tomorrow Daf Yudalin. So let's go back to Nesachim. Amar Rav Yosef Bereid, Rav Shmuel, Rav Papa. No, I skipped a little bit. Amar Rav Papa. Okay, good. I'm back. Amar Rav Papa. Hashad Amar Nesachim Abayim Bifnei Atzmam Kravim. Afilu b'layla nizdab nusachim b'layla makdisha b'layla makrivim. Okay, so now look at our conclusion. Our conclusion now is that if I bring nusachim, now I'm saying independent. We're not talking about independent nusachim. We just simply mean that they were not set up together with the carbon. So under those circumstances, now there's a latitude regarding these nusachim that they can be offered at night. And so that means Rav Papa says, let's bring it to its logical conclusion. If we get the Nesachim for the first time at night, you could be makdish them at night. In other words, once I could be makir them at night, it could be makdish them at night as well. So Amalei Rav Yosef, Bereid, Rav Shmuel, Rav Papa, Tain de Masayelach. And I have a brisa that supports you as well. Zehaklau, Kol HaKrab B'yom, Eino Kadosh Ala B'yom, V'chol HaKrab B'layla, Kadosh B'layla. Okay, and the brisa that we quoted on the bottom of our first Amud of today's daf. Good. Amar Avada Barava, V'olos HaShachar Posim B'hem, Ke'evarim. Okay, now if you're going to bring the Nesachim at night, so how much time do you have to bring them? You have for the remainder of the night. Much like the limbs of the carbon, so you're given the opportunity to burn them over the course of the night, but that means, of course, that you have to finish burning them by morning. Morning over here means dawn, alos ha-shachar. So Same thing is true with Nesachim. If you're going to be Makdish the Nesachim at night, they must be offered at night. In the morning, if they're not brought, it's considered it's considered the psul of
Lina.
I was going to say Nosar, but Lina is the better way to say it. It's a more accurate way to say it. Okay, so we quoted the Pesukim from Parshas Pinchas, so we're going to do the same now as well. And we start off with the following. These are what you're going to offer on Yontav. Obviously, a summary of all the Karbonos that are brought over every Yontav, right? The Pesukim and Parshas Pinchas lay out all the various additional Karbonos and Musafim that are brought on each and every one of the Yontavs that occurred during the year. So, Ela Chovos Habaos Chovos Berego. So, fine. So, in other words, so this part of the Pasuk is referring to those obligations that are tied to each one of the Yamim Tovim. Levad Minidrechem Vinidvosechem. And that is in addition to Nidarm Nidavos, Limit Al Nidarm Nidavos, Shekraven Bechol Shomoi. So let's say you have voluntary offerings that you brought up with you. Now, if you think about it, it makes all the sense in the world. Meaning, your opportunity to bring your neder nedava comes when? When you're making a trip to Yerushalayim. When are you making a trip to Yerushalayim? On Yontif, right? Aliyah L'Regel. So it makes all the sense in the world that you're bringing with you not only the obligatory karbanos that come on every Yontif, but you're also going to be bringing on top of that your neder nedava. So when can you bring it? So you can't bring it on Yontif, because on Yontif there only is a heter of either bringing the carbon seabor that are connected to that day, or what's it called? Your ability to cook for yourself, but you can't bring an edu nedav on Yontif. No problem. Bring it, right. So no problem. So bring in a chol hamoed. Fine. Ula olo sechem b'me'akas medaber, and also your olas as well. Now, what is this coming to include? So ibalos nedav harikva amor nidrechem v'ibalos nedav harikva amor nidvosechem. So if the ola over here is a reference to either ned or nedava, it's already been covered. And it's already been allowed. V'heinu medaber ela ba'olas yoledes v'olas mitzora. So it's talking about another type of ola. Private ola, but not the voluntary type. But rather, a woman is given birth. She's going to be bringing a carbon ola. A mitzora, who is concluding his saras, going to bring a carbon ola. That's what it's making reference to. Ula mincho seichem b'makas medaber. So, mincha, what is that coming to refer to? Ibn minchas neder, harei kva amor. The mincha of a neder, covered. Ibn minchas nedava, harei kva amor. Mincha of a nedava, also covered. Ha'inu medaber, ela ben minchas. Now, in our girsa sota, okay, again, chote. Chote is probably the better girsa. Minchas chote, u minchas kanaos. Okay, so various menachos that are obligatory menachos. So they too can be brought on yantav. And again, we say yantav, we really mean chalamod. So just like the shamim are offered during the day, nesachim are offered during the day. And the shamechem at the end is coming to include the shlamim of a nazir. Okay, fine. So what we have now done is given us another brisa, and again, this other brisa, a lot of other points to take under consideration, but again, it speaks to the idea that nesachim are brought during the day. And again, we'll say, well, like we said, at the center of today's daf, that's talking specifically about nesachim that were attached and connected and linked to the actual carbon itself.
Shamim nesachim is on chalamayt.
Whichever nesachim you're going to bring. The nesachim are going to be connected to the carbon, and they have to be brought during the day. Amalei abai v'lema mar shalmi pesach. Now, at the end of the braisa that we just learned, shalmechem is coming to include shalmi nazir. To which the Gemara just pushes back a little bit. Shalmi Nazir, why didn't we talk about Shalmi Pesach? First of all, what is Shalmi Pesach? So Rashi points out over here, Shalmi Pesach is a Chagigas Yudalit. We know that on the 14th day of Nisan, so we are all bringing Karm Pesach. Now, Karm Pesach is a goat, or it could be a sheep, but still, so it's not a lot of meat. Now, granted, by the way, we should set aside enough Karm Pesach. What we should do, the control that we have over here is how many people are going to put in a Chabura. So if we have a lot of people in the Chabura, and it's only one carbon for that Chabura, obviously it's going to be a small amount of meat for everybody. Okay, so we could shrink the Chabura down. Okay, so, but still, what do we do in terms of supplementing? So there is a carbon that's born on the 14th day of Nisan. It's not a Yontif carbon, because the 14th is not Yontif. So it's a carbon that's born on the 14th day of Nisan, and it's called Chagigas Yudalit. Now, even though it's given the word chagiga, it's not the classic carbon chagiga. Carbon chagiga is brought on Yontif itself. Chagigas Yadal, it's supplemental carbon that comes together with the Karban Pesach. Okay, the discussion in Pesachim, which we went over a while ago in the Daf Yomi, in terms of what kind of nature does it take on? Does it take any kind of nature like the Karban Pesach itself? Does it have to be roasted like the Karban Pesach? Right, the discussion over there in Gemara Pesachim. Anyway. Now the Gemara says, I'll tell you why I'm so bent on this idea that it can't be talking about Shami Nazir. Because what is Shami Nazir? It's Neder, Nedava. Already been covered in the earlier portion of the Braisa. So you know that any voluntary carbon can be brought on a private Bama. And you know what can be offered on a private Bama? Your Nazir Karbanos. So it's a simple logic ladder. Only voluntary offerings can be brought on a Bamas Yachid. And a listing of that which can be offered on the Bamas Yachid is just been given to us. In that listing is the Nazir Karbanos. So therefore, ergo, the Nazir Karbanos is a voluntary offering. Okay, so that becomes problematic. And so therefore, if it's a voluntary offering, going back to the original Braisa, it's already been talked about with the words Nidrechem, Vinidvosechem. So it's been covered already. So obviously at the tail end of the Braisa, Shlomi must be making reference to something else. What is it making reference to? Shalmei Pesach. So the Gemara says, Shalmei Mikan Nazira. So what the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. Maybe in that last Braisa that you just quoted, let's take the word Naziris out of there because it's not a voluntary offering. The Gemara says, what are you saying? Mikal Amandamar Nazir Lav Nidav Nidavhu. How can Nazir not be a voluntary offering? Meaning the act of becoming a Nazir, isn't that a voluntary act? And so therefore the karbanos that are brought at the end of Naziros, shouldn't they be treated like voluntary karbanos? Dichsiv. And now the Gemara is going to go through a proof. I'm going to go through this proof quickly. Truth of the matter is that I'm going to finish up to the Mishnah. It'll take me a couple of minutes. You know, it's funny. You could argue a different way. Meaning what the Gemara is arguing right now, and will continue to argue, is that the karban nazir is really a voluntary karban. Because the act of Naziros is voluntary, which is true, which is accurate. But what you could also say, just to counter that argument, is that becoming a Nazir is voluntary. But once you're a Nazir, so then you have to bring the Karbanos. Right, so there is another way to look at it. But right now the Gemara is going to assume that no, that the Nazir is totally voluntary, and the Karbanos of the Nazir are voluntary. How do I know that? So the Gemara is going to make its case. So the Gemara cites episode in Shmuel Beis, where Avshalom says to his father, David HaMelech, you know, I got to go to Chevron because I became a Nazir and I got to bring my Karbanos. So good. So if you read on in the Navi, that wasn't really his true intent. His true intent was to go to Chevron and basically start a revolution, a revolt against David HaMelech. Okay, but anyway. But in the pretense, however, and now the pretense obviously has to make sense, otherwise David HaMelech is going to see right through him. And in the pretense, he basically says, you know, I'm a Nazir, I'm going to bring my carbon in Chevron. So my lava carbon, now he's talking about his carbon Nazir. Now Chevron, now at what time are we historically? So Shiloh now is gone. Mishkan Shiloh is gone. And obviously the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash is not going to be built, and it's not going to be built until after David, until Shlomo HaMelech. So now we are between Shiloh and Yerushalayim. So this is now what we call a period of Heter Bamos. Now there was the public Bama was set up during this interim period in two places. One place in Nov and the second place in Givon. Nov, however, came to an end when Shaul killed all the Kohanim of Nov. And then it moved over to Givon. But anyway, during this interim period, so we have a Mishkan set up. Right now, currently, it's in Givon. And where is Avshalom now offering his carbon? He's offering his carbon in Chevron. Clearly, he's offering it on a Bamas Yachid, on a private Bama. Mm-hmm. So we've just made the point. Meaning, he's offering his carbon Nazir on a private Bama in Chevron. So you see clearly that's a voluntary offering. So the Gemara says, Lo Aikar Nidro, Amar. No, you misunderstood. Avshalom wasn't saying that he was going to be offering his carbon in Chevron. He was saying that he made the Neder in Chevron. The Gemara says, "Ikar nedro b'chevron hava, v'alo b'geshur hava." So the Gemara says, if you read the Pesukim in the Navi, you will see very clearly that he was in Geshur when he made the Neder to become a Nazir, not in Chevron. So that's not a viable way to read the Pesuk. Amar v'achavitem rabba b'Rav Chanan lo halach Avshalom ela lahavi kvasim echevron. So the Gemara offers another suggestion. Well, maybe he was bringing the sheep from Chevron. So the Gemara says, because consider. Look, he's going on a Bamas Yachid. He's going on a private Bama. Where is he currently situated right now? He's talking to his father, David, in Yerushalayim. Right? What an oddity. You're going to leave Yerushalayim. Now, mind you, by the way, the question is not as powerful as we think it is, because there's no Beis HaMikdash right now. But still, it's a holy place. You're going to leave Yerushalayim to go to Chevron to offer your carbon to Chevron? Like, what kind of, even as a pretense, what kind of pretense is that? How could that possibly be? Ella, my lavi kvasim a Chevron. Oh, it must be that what he was telling his father is that my sheep are in Chevron, so I'm just going to take a quick trip down to Chevron to get my sheep to come back to Yerushalayim to offer the carbonus here in Yerushalayim. Hashir nadat l'Hashem b'chevron mi'chevron mi'bayle. The Gemara says, yeah, but it doesn't really fit into the words of the Pesukim. If that's really what he meant, the Pesuk should have said mi'chevron, but it doesn't. It says b'chevron, in Chevron. El olam l'kruve. So the Gemara says, okay, so really what Avshalom was telling his father is that I'm going to be offering my carbon to Zeros in Chevron. Now, again, let's go back to our question. The kakashi l'chamay shavak Yerushalayim u'makriv b'chevron. So tikshalach given the makum kadoshu. So the Gemara says, okay, look, as far as the question, leaving Yerushalayim to offer a carbon in Chevron, that's weird. Well, the Gemara says, I'll tell you what, it's also weird. Why didn't he go to Givon? Meaning, if he's traveling anyway, so go to the public Bama, go to Givon, where right now currently is a public Bama. So the Gemara says, look, at this point in time, we're in a state of Heter Bamos, and in a state of Heter Bamos, you can offer wherever you would like. And for reasons that the Gemara doesn't really articulate, he had just simply a preference to offer in the Chevron.
Not at the Machpelah there.
Okay, in the Chanami. Right. Could be. Could very well be. Okay. So, fine. Now, it says 40 years. 40 years from what point in time? It can't be from the beginning of David's rule, because David ruled for a total of 40 years. So, Arbim Shana Shishalalam, I'm sorry. So, Arbim Shana Laman. So, it says in the Pasuk that Miketz Arbim Shana, at the end of 40 years. So, you'll find this discussion throughout Shas. Meaning, we know the interval of time, but from what point are we counting? So the Gemara says, Arbim Shana Laman, Tanya, Rabbi Norai, Amar Mishum, Rabbi Shua, Miketz Arbim Shana, Shishal Lahem Melech. 40 years from the time that they asked for a king. The Tanya, the Gemara here, goes through a brief historical lesson. Oso Shana Shishal Lahem Melech, Oso Shana Asiri Shel Shmuel Haisa. In terms of the year that they asked for a king, that was the 10th year of Shmuel's reign. Now, I say reign, by the way. We know that Shmuel wasn't a melech per se, but he was a manig, he was a leader of the Jewish people. Okay, so not formal melech, but still, he was a leader. So the 10th year of Shmuel's reign. So, Esra Shanim Melech Shmuel Ba'atzmo, 10 year Shmuel ruled by himself, Shana Acha Shemalach Shaul U'Shmuel, 1 year where Shaul and Shmuel ruled literally together, but basically means the year is split. Half the year belongs to Shmuel, half the year belongs to Shaul. Ushem Shemalch Shal Ba'atzmo, 2 years where Shal ruled by himself. Ushloshim Vesheva Shemalch David in the 37 years that David ruled. So basically, this is the timeline of the 40 years starting from the time that they asked for a king. Okay, you could see over here an exceptionally long Rashi over here where Rashi goes through this little piece of history, and Rashi over here really irons out all the rough edges of the timeline that was just given. The timeline that was given is a very rough diagram, and Rashi really tries to iron out all the details. So see Rashi for a detailed version of this timeline. Recap. Where we started with today is a Mishnah that we opened up the second parak of the Masechta, comparing and contrasting the carbon yachid to the carbon sibor, various distinctions that are made that are exclusive to the carbon yachid that don't exist by carbon sibor, and there is something that exists by carbon sibor that does not exist by carbon yachid, i.e., it's docha Shabbos and Tumah. The Gemara spends a lot of time in the Amud Aleph going over all the various drushas that arrive us to these conclusions, also trying to give more definition to the Mishnah. The Mishnah says the carbon yachid can come from male and female. That's not always true. Carbon olah is only male. Carbon chazos is female. So the Gemara addresses those technical issues of the Mishnah. The Gemara spent a lot of time also at the bottom of the Amud Aleph going over the Nesachim. And we basically made two categories of Nesachim. Nesachim that are attached to a carbon, Nesachim that are brought for a carbon but were not attached to a carbon, i.e. the Nesachim came along only after the carbon was offered. Nesachim that are attached to a carbon, that you have to offer during the day, just like the carbon is offered during the day. Nesachim that are coming at a later point in time can come. Once they're coming at a later point in time, you can offer it at night, you can offer it the following day as well. Okay, that's the two categories of Nesachim. This brilliant idea and these two categories of Nesachim was introduced to us in Eretz Yisrael in the name of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. The Gemara went on a small tangent today, but really super interesting in terms of they want to write down this Chiddush. And the Gemara says, you're not allowed to write down the Chiddush, it's Torah Shabbat Peh. You can't write down Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Gemara made a couple points. One, a Chiddush may be different. You can write down a Chiddush. And two, is that in general, we have a special dispensation was given post Chorban Vayisheni that we could take the Torah Shabbat Peh and write it down. Otherwise, we're going to lose Torah Shabbat Peh. The Gemara comes back to the topic of Nesachim once again. And the Gemara records and reviews for us various drushas regarding the bringing of Nesachim during the day and other things that could be brought on Yontif as well, based on the Pasuk at the end of Parshas Pinchas, the end of all the Musafim, what could be brought in addition to the Karbonos of Yontif. And so the Gemara gave a list of Karbonos that could be brought in conjunction to that. And the last topic we talked today was about the Karbon Nazir. Karbon Nazir is a voluntary carbon. How do I know that? Because it could be brought on a Bamas Yachid. Only Nadar Nadavis could be brought on a Bamas Yachid. We know the Karbon Nazir was brought on the Bamas Yachid. How do I know that? Because Avshalom told his father that he was going to bring his carbon on a Bamas Yachid. So clearly it falls under the category of Nadar Nadavah.